Dubbo is a country town about 6 hours' drive northwest of Sydney. Past the scenic Blue Mountains, past the racetrack at Bathurst, and past the wineries of Orange. If Dubbo is known for anything, it's the savannah-like Western Plains Zoo. But the hospital has traditionally been known as a perfunctory and unglamorous rotation for interns and trainees. The last time I was at Dubbo Base was 1986. I was 6 years old and had a humerus fracture after falling from a tree on an outlying farm. Being a Sunday, my arm was put in a cast by the on-call obstetrician. A couple of months later, my dad took me to see an orthopod in Sydney, who kindly offered to break it again and set it properly. Instead, Dad took me to a computer arcade at Pier 1 to cheer me up. That was long ago redeveloped into a 5-star hotel, but I was expecting to find Dubbo Base unchanged from the squat red brick pile of my childhood. How wrong I was. I found that not only is the hospital going through a massive renovation, but that the physicians there were engaged in building a top-spec model of care and workplace culture. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about what it's like to train as a specialist in the country. And in the next episode, we'll hear about generalist training in far-off Broome. Welcome to Pomegranate Health. I'm Mick Cavazzini for the Royal Australasian College of Physicians. A third of Australia's population is classified as regional or remote, but as it's such a big place, it's hard to provide comprehensive care all over. As a result, chronic disease gets treated later, and mortality is 1.3 times higher than it is in major cities, according to the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. Although GP coverage in regional areas isn't bad, there are 42% as many specialists per 100,000 population as there are in major cities. And in remote areas, it's more like 11%. Only 15% of specialists even undertake training in rural areas, but research shows that these experiences are more likely to lead to permanent careers in the country. Let's talk about Dubbo. It has a population of about 40,000 people, and the hospital services a catchment of another 90,000 spread across an area the size of Great Britain, much of it wheat fields and grazing land. In the role its secondary service plays for a widely dispersed population, Dubbo can be compared to other regional centres like Tamworth or Mackay or Mildura.
The catchment for Dubbo Health Service numbers about 130,000 people, and we have a rural referral hospital here which services 23 smaller hospitals across the majority of Western New South Wales. Each of those smaller hospitals is run by GPs, and they do a really good job, the rural generalists out here, to the degree that half of them I'd be happy to have on the general medical roster here.
That's consultant oncologist Dr. Florian Honeyball. He first rotated to Dubbo as an intern, then in 2011 took up an advanced training position under the Specialist Training Program. This is a Commonwealth program to fund registrar positions not just in rural areas, but also neglected metropolitan settings outside the teaching hospitals. Areas like aged care, private rehab facilities, community and Aboriginal health. The STP now funds over 1,000 posts across the country, and 345 of these are managed by the RACP. Of these, a third cover basic training, general medicine and general paediatrics. There are about 30 posts each in the fields of geriatrics, rehab medicine, palliative medicine and public health, but most other specialties are represented too. Dr. Honeyball explains how the STP position for oncology was created in Dubbo to address the above average cancer mortality in Western New South Wales.
Yeah, so look, to tap into that, the reason why there's high mortality, I think, is twofold. Number one, people aren't getting diagnosed early enough for a host of different reasons. Primary health care, poorer health literacy. So there's that aspect to it. And then secondly, it's the access to investigations and secondary level care, such as oncology, medical oncology, radiation oncology, and treatments associated with that. And prior to me coming here, it was entirely staffed by fly-in, fly-out oncologists from Sydney, one day a week. And so the service provided was at its limits. We were seeing about 190 new patients per year when the numbers kind of suggested we should be seeing close towards 400 or 450. So we thought there was a lot of unmet need. What we found after I started working here is that number all of a sudden skyrocketed from 190 to 379, which is close to where we thought the numbers should be. But even still, looking at the postcodes of where people were coming from, there still was overrepresentation closer to Dubbo and not enough people with postcodes of, you know, Brewarrina, Bourke, which is 400 kilometres from Dubbo, but still part of our catchment. Most of us do outreach. It's just expected as part of providing a service out here, because we know that if we don't provide an outreach service, even if we offer video conferencing, we don't have the same sort of uptake. So the majority of us would do several outreach clinics a month. I've done two this week.
Just got back from Mudgee. I just got back from Mudgee.
Yes, it was a bit of a schlep to get back here in time. So Mudgee is our largest drainage town, has a population of 11,000, and again, a lot of visiting service, but no resident specialist service in town.
So the GP will know that you're in on the second Tuesday of every month?
Yes, we generally try to provide a weekly service to Mudgee in oncology between me and my colleague, Dr. Rye. And the GPs know where our rooms are, and when they do their rounds, they'll generally pop upstairs if they've got a question to ask. And that's the nice thing with smaller hospitals, is that, you know, you're the big fish in a small pond, but it does mean that there's a lot more continuity of care, I think. And I know most of the GPs in the district, and they all know me. And so if there's a question, we'll know how to ask each other.
For the health geography nerds out there, Dubbo is an island in a sea of modified Monash 5. If you keep driving west, it becomes classification 6 within an hour. And then after another 2 hours, you're in very remote terrain until you hit Alice Springs. Despite the high needs of the large Dubbo catchment and its relative remoteness, it has historically been neglected compared to country towns further east. The hospital is now a giant construction site after Dubbo Base received $250 million in state and federal funding. Until recently, the specialist services here depended on a combination of visiting medical officers and fly-in, fly-out clinicians. VMOs might have a contract of a few weeks or months, while FIFOs will spend a day or two on site on each trip. But Dubbo has been steadily building a community of locally based specialists. James Collett and Joel Riley explain why this is important for continuity of care for country-based patients.
I'm James Collett. I'm a general physician and nephrologist out in Dubbo. I first came out here in 2011 as a rotating basic trainee. And then completed my renal training in Darwin, and then came back here and started work here.
I'm Joel Riley. I'm a fourth year advanced trainee doing dual training in general medicine and rheumatology. Apart from that, I'm a father of two kids, left back for the South Dubbo Wanderers. And
How's the season going?
We're fifth. Thank you for asking. But, you know, the only thing to do after a setback is come back.
that's the football or the training?
The football. Yeah. Let's not talk about that. I came out here as a second term BPT, rotating in 2014, and loved it so much that I elected to come back in 2015 again at the end. And now I'm back here doing a year of 6 months of acute medicine, which will complete my training.
All right. What's your week or your month pan out like in terms of your time spent in Dubbo, in private clinics, and then more remote outreach?
So at a consultant level, you know, a lot of the way Dubbo works, and that it is quite unique here in that it's predominantly a staff specialist model as opposed to VMO's model. So most of the general physicians are on staff here, and so don't do a lot of private medicine. There is scope for private work in various specialties, and there are fly-in, fly-out people from Sydney that come and do gastroenterology and some rheumatology and things like that. But often they expect patients to do things back in Sydney, not understanding how the service works in Dubbo. Again, I think to to properly service an area, you need Dubbo to be the centre of providing that healthcare, not Sydney. And then you do your outpatient clinics, which again are Medicare-funded public clinics. And on top of that, you usually do some outreach. So I go to Bourke and Mudgee for outreach clinics about 3 out of 5 weeks. We also have a very very good telehealth service. So if we need to see them more urgently or need to closely follow them up, again, there's Medicare billing items for that and it all works very smoothly. And our month is usually, if we're on call for general medicine, we're on call for that month. That alternates, so month on, month off with another physician. And the general medicine actually is something that, although scary at first, is probably one of the most appealing part of the job. And I also do some stuff with Sydney University because there's a School of Rural Health here.
Yeah, I could have, if I chose to forego general medical training, I probably would never have to think about acute gastrointestinal bleeds ever again. because if my patient had one, I would call the relevant specialist and that's the end of thinking about it. But at times you're the one on the spot who has to do the thing to get the patient through the next 24, 48 hours until you can call for help. Mm. And that's, there's a lot of satisfaction to be had, I think, in maintaining that those general medical skills that you work so hard to develop in the first place through your training.
What about in your specialties in nephrology and rheumatology? What sort of diagnostic or treatment tools are you missing? And is it a...
Like everywhere, and Dubbo probably reflects just things have become more subspecialised and, you know, yeah, there are holes in some of the services, but we're getting a hospital-based MRI that's going to be Medicare-funded. We're getting a big cancer centre. In terms of nephrology services, we're, again, at a unique position because there's 3 nephrologists in Dubbo. We can do biopsies, we can do access. Complicated access usually has to go to Sydney. And we obviously don't do
access for dialysis.
Access for dialysis, sorry, and obviously we don't do kidney transplant, and we never will. But we manage very complex transplant patients in the community here, and so really, there's not a lot that we don't offer that aren't offered in the bigger centres.
In terms of rheumatology, I know a shout out to any rheumatologists or general physicians listening who have shared the pain of trying to get a temporal artery biopsy done in a major metropolitan centre, which can be, depending on the centre, quite fraught. Dubbo has to rank up there with the most efficient in getting a temporal artery biopsy of anywhere I've ever worked. There's good relationships between all the clinicians and the surgeons, and they understand the importance of this non-urgent procedure, and so it gets done. Similarly, muscle biopsies get done. And in terms of actual diagnostics, really the only thing we're missing is dual energy CT for crystal disease, but that's a software package, and it's just a matter of talking to the radiologists and PET scanning, which has an increasing role in rheumatology, but is yet to be Medicare funded.
Anyway, yeah.
So that's still emerging, but with the new cancer centre going in, we will have a PET scanner physically in Dubbo, and should things end up getting funded, say in vasculitis. The hardware will be here ready to go.
And is that sounds like quite a comprehensive coverage. Is that representative of, you know, Mildura or Rock?
No. I think it's a pretty unique.
I sit on the Regional Rheumatology Committee of the Australian Rheumatology Association, and I get a spreadsheet of, you know, what services are available where, and the number of actually regionally based, not even distinguishing between VMO, private or staff specialist, but actually regionally based rheumatologists is very, very small. Now, that's not to disparage the people in the cities, because a lot of them provide excellent outreach services, but I think our patients do prefer to see somebody who's local. I think that treatment close to home by somebody who's from your community is qualitatively different.
So, again, Dubbo would be exceptional in being so well-resourced compared to...
Exceptional is the word for Dubbo.
In every sense.
In that in the half a dozen or so rural hospitals I've worked in, Dubbo is the exception in terms of the model and also in terms of the vision for where the hospital's heading.
Part-time staffing is a necessary reality for most regional hospitals, but it can make for a weaker workplace culture. Florian Honeyball says that when he first rotated to Dubbo as an intern, there wasn't a very strong leadership. The training was seen as pretty ordinary, and most trainees put the hospital last on their preference list. You clocked in, you went home to sleep, and waited it out until your service term was done. The vibe at Dubbo Base began to change with the arrival of two physicians from abroad. When Dr. Jennifer Fiore Chapman applied to a consultant position in 2008, the hospital managers were thrilled when she asked if there was a place for her partner Colin McClintock, also a nephrologist. They've become passionate advocates for building permanent services and personnel in their region, and about maintaining a succession plan for high-quality training. The Dubbo model counters many of the stereotypes about rural medicine. That supervision will be poor, that you're always on call, and that any minute you could be thrown in the deep end outside your scope of practice. In Joel Riley's experience at a bunch of country hospitals, this picture is a throwback to the past, or perhaps to TV drama.
So it'd be lying to say that the clinical medicine doesn't have a different set of demands. There is a different set of demands placed on you as a clinician, but we're all in the same boat. And ultimately, the patients are the ones in the deep end. But I think most people welcome the opportunity to gain rural experience and get a lot more independence and exposed to a lot more, sadly, a lot more pathology out here and stuff in advanced stages. I mean, the intensivists who visit out here are often telling me that they see stuff here they never see anywhere else. And in my experience, only the Northern Territory really compares in terms of complexity and severity of clinical presentations. It staggers me why people don't go where the disease is. You know, if you go where the disease is, you have more opportunity to rack up the qualies, add quality of life.
And the supervision is just a phone call away.
Always. I mean, it depends on the culture of your place. But speaking about the culture of Dubbo, I've never felt under-supported in this hospital. And if you're sitting at home listening to the podcast, being worried that you'll be out of your depth, you're probably the person who needs to be out here providing the service to the patients. You know, get amongst it. And we're linked with RPA as our basic training network. And often we end up getting people who unfortunately have not managed to pass the clinical first time round. They come out here and they are absolutely swamped with opportunities to do very complex, long cases with patients who are very glad to do them. So I remember back in the day I had a patient self-discharge because they'd been seen for too many short cases. It doesn't happen out here. There's not the sort of infestation of doctors that you get in metropolitan centres. So,
and as Joel said, there's less places to hide in rural places. You actually, things that might get lost in Sydney in a big hospital, people pick up that you might be deficient in an area, and that's actually good for your training when people can notify you about that and say, actually, you need to get better at that. And the registrars actually get a lot more independence. They're well supervised, but their level of their responsibility is much higher here. And registrars often crave that because they're swamped in Sydney by layers of hierarchy, whereas here it just doesn't exist. So that's the reason I was really keen to come out here. And the culture is certainly one of just helping each other. And so even though we're all busy, and it can get frustrating when patient care is compromised because of lack of access to certain services, but we work around it and do the best we can. And that's actually part of the enjoyable part of the job is trying to be advocates for these patients.
Absolutely. Yeah, and look, the other thing I've learned since being out here is you really have to step up. So general practitioners step up a lot. But also in medical oncology, so, I saw 379 new patients in a year. That gave me an incredible amount of experience, and I really do feel that I'm a much more experienced oncologist as a fifth year consultant than a lot of my peers would be, without trying to sound too arrogant, but just purely based on the numbers of people that I see. And I think it's the same thing you would get from an STP training position, in that the breadth of disease and patients that you see, I think will make you a more rounded clinician.
It's one of the truisms that, you know, Australia is a big place and regional areas often have resource limitations.
Yeah.
But one of the positives that people try and spin on training in a rural area is that you're given more independence and more responsibility, and that you can learn really real diagnostic problem solving.
Yes.
And would you be able to relate to that?
I think also trying to manage people in a different environment is actually challenging. So if someone lives 400 kilometres away from Dubbo, it is difficult to convince them to come into town for a CT scan to monitor their disease progress every 3 months. So sometimes I just have to make do with guesswork and old school palpation. Not being able to just say to someone, can you pop back in? I'm a bit worried about your blood test. I just want to have a look at and see how you are. Instead, you have to devise a new stratagem to work out, okay, well, who can I rely on in this patient's community 300 kilometres away to be able to make sure that they can be properly assessed? Can I use telehealth? Can I use a general practitioner or a rural nurse in that community to convey what I want done? So they're different challenges, and I think you have to be able to problem solve. And we're starting to try to use some models that we've seen elsewhere. So Professor Sabe Sarbison in Townsville has started a model using community nurses to deliver mild or moderate intensity chemotherapy in small towns. And we've used those models in places like Walgett, in places like Cobar, to improve access and hopefully bring down mortality rates. But in this subspecialty in medical oncology, there's also a lot fewer adjunctive staff, so allied health staff or nurse coordination. And as a result, the buck stops with you a lot more. In the city, I know I could just rely on the colon cancer coordinator to manage all the things that my patient needed to do prior to them coming into seeing me in clinic for their first review. Out here, it was me triaging the patients. It was me organising all of those tests and making sure that they got to Dubbo in the right place and got to the right CT scanner and the MRI scanner and come here. So there is that problem-solving issue, which is a bit more hands-on out here.
Going back to your experience as a as a trainee, how often would you or your supervisor need to refer to other subspecialists outside of Dubbo?
So while I was here as the STP trainee, it was slightly different to the current model. So I was here as a fellow, as a third year trainee, and I would fly up by myself to Dubbo on the Monday and Tuesday, and I'd have my supervisor on the phone. So it was slightly different to what it is now, where I'm here full time and the STP trainees come through with someone just down the corridor. So as a result, I found myself referring a lot to my supervisor in Sydney, and I would call him a couple of times a day for help. In terms of the amount of times I needed to refer outside for different subspecialty cover, probably twice or three times a day. And it would usually be for the high specialty surgical opinions, so neurosurgery, upper gastrointestinal surgery, mainly because in cancer there's a lot of need for that sort of subspecialty care. And realistically, we're never going to have a neurosurgeon in Dubbo. We just couldn't maintain the numbers of patients going through. But what that does allow is that you do create relationships with those subspecialists, and even as a trainee I found myself being known to a lot of the other subspecialists in Sydney, which is helpful both ways, in that it does improve my ability to refer, and people would go out of their way to help me out, to give me education about what sort of things I needed to do before sending people down, and what sort of patients they were looking out for, and what sort of things that they would do particular operations for. So I did actually find it quite helpful being the STP trainee from Dubbo in gaining those sorts of mentorships with specialties outside of my own.
Dubbo Hospital now has many opportunities for trainees. There's a general medicine registrar, and the consultants are happy to support rotations out for subspecialty training. There's a 6-month renal medicine AT position that is paired with Royal Prince Alfred and Liverpool hospitals. The oncology AT is now largely based in Dubbo, and in the works are respiratory and endocrine positions too. Basic trainees from RPA make rotations out there at the start and at the end of their 3 years, and the pipeline is about to get even more cohesive. Dubbo will soon have a postgraduate medical program for 96 students based entirely in the country. This is supported by the University of Sydney Medical School, and James Collett says they would welcome interest from academic clinicians. I asked him and Joel Riley what they like about living in the country, and what strategy would retain staff for the long term.
We do try and encourage them to hang around as much as possible, not only because they do weekends here, but I did a lot of terms as a trainee at different hospitals in rural and remote areas, and I really think it's better when you stay in the area. But that's from someone without kids who's married, but you know, doesn't have things tying me down.
I agree that trying to live in the place, it gives you a much better idea of what the place is like. But whether your partner enjoys being in the country is really important, probably the number one, I reckon, the number one determinant of whether people stay is can their partner enjoy living in Dubbo. A lot of people's partners have jobs that they can't, that aren't portable. I think James and I are both lucky in that we've married into Allied Health. So our wives are both physiotherapists.
If there's one message from this podcast.
Yeah. And there are differences in the culture which are hard to communicate, but I'll tell a small anecdote as an example, which is that my wife was thinking about doing some part-time work in physiotherapy, and so she called up the local physio department and asked if she could come in and visit. And they put on a morning tea for her, and just they brought her in for a tour and just put on a morning tea to say, hey, welcome, thanks, it's really nice to see you. Imagine that happening in a metropolitan hospital. I mean, can you imagine? Like,
and it's 6 hours from Sydney, but Dubbo is very accessible. There's 5 flights a day to Sydney. You know, I always say, you know, variety is good when you're training, seeing, getting different perspectives, because you might come and go, actually, I'm a better person when I'm not in Sydney, but you've got to try it. And I think training is, you know, we talk about training, everyone focuses on, oh, you're training for medicine, but you're also training to, like, live the best life you can. And so take advantage of the opportunity to go and live somewhere else and train to do that, you know. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with going, well, let's use this to see what it is like living somewhere else. Yeah, you might hate it, but then you know. It's always good to try. And you might love it and it might be better, which is what I found. So, yeah.
On a personal level, I didn't really appreciate what it was like living in a country town until I moved here, and I've all of a sudden the whole commuting for 40 minutes each way and the city traffic and having to deal with the stresses of big city life versus, you know, having a $600,000 house with 5 bedrooms, a pool, a chicken run, which is 5 minutes from work, and where my wife, who is also a doctor, can work in the same hospital. It's just been amazing. It's really improved my quality of life substantially. And, you know, it's an extra hour and a half per day that I can do other things with my life. So whether that's, you know, supervising the medical students, doing some research with our advanced trainees or our registrars, or doing some of my own stuff, or my family, you know. So if I want to go home at 5:30 and cuddle my son, I can do that.
Yeah, maybe final reflections on what you like about the community here. I mean, I spent my early childhood on a cotton farm out near Trangie.
Yes.
And it was an incredible place to grow up, but there weren't many cappuccinos to be found in Dubbo. My dad would call it the Paris of the Central West.
With huge slatherings of irony.
Yeah, well, that's becoming less ironic every day, right?
Yeah. So, Look, I think most rural communities are becoming much more metropolitan. Dubbo has started to grow its agribusiness sector, and the hospital's expanded. And I think with that, with a slightly higher disposable income, has come a lot of more interesting cafes, and the art galleries opened up, and we have a relatively new cultural centre. I actually find myself doing a lot more cultural activities than I used to when I was living in Camperdown in Sydney or Bondi, mainly because if the symphony's in town, they're here for this one night this year, I've got to go. If the opera's in town, they're here for this one night, I've got to go. If Bell Shakespeare's here, I've got to go. So I go. And so I'm at the cultural centre once a month or more often, whereas I barely ever went out and did those cultural things in Sydney. So I'm actually finding myself to be more of a cultural snob now than I used to be when I was in the metropolitan setting. So these towns are changing. But I think also there's a higher reward in that I find that all of my patients, even when I was a trainee, really admired and respected the fact that I was coming here, even if it was 2 days a week in my SDP training. And there is a loss of anonymity being in a rural community, but with that comes a greater sense of responsibility both ways. So you are responsible for your community, but also the community feels responsible for you. So I find that people are much more accommodating to what I suggest that they do. And there's a lot of pride that there is an oncology service in this town now. And when I came, there was a large community push to make sure that there was appropriate investigative services available for the new service that was coming with my employment. And so 46,000 people signed a petition to get our new Western Cancer Centre, and it really does demonstrate the community pride and the community drive and that accountability. So on a personal level, I'm so thankful that I was given that opportunity and I wasn't just blinded into staying in Sydney for another big city job.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because again, one of the stereotypes is, oh well, it's not going to look good on my CV if I'm training in a rural town instead of a big shot research hospital or whatever. Do you think that's true, or do you think you're actually likely to get regarded as?
Oh, look, I think the stigma is there. You know, I'm not going to lie. I think that there is a bit of a stigma for someone who's short sighted. Maybe that. Is a problem that if I start working in a rural community, then maybe I won't get a job back. But then if you stick around, do a few years, get a few years under your belt, all of a sudden you're very valuable. You're a clinician with significant experience. The experience that I've been able to get out here, and you know, I've been given all these managerial roles as well, all of a sudden has made me a bit more valuable if I did want to move back to a metropolitan area. And recently I was headhunted for a large regional centre's cancer centre. And look, the reality is that nowadays in large cities, at least in my subspecialty, in Sydney and Melbourne, you can be sitting around waiting for a job for years. Whereas I was able to get a full-time staff specialist job in a town where my skills were really, really sought after. And I've been able to keep going with my own health services research and, you know, presented internationally, whilst being able to professionally really grow, not just in my clinical medicine, but also in my management and my management skills.
Oh, yeah. You talk about management. You were even asked to advise on the how the hospital's going to spend its $250 million, isn't
that? So I'm a part of the executive committee, which decides how the cancer centre and also other parts of the development will go ahead in the Dubbo Health Service. I sit on the District Clinical Council as the Chair of Cancer Services for Western New South Wales. So that means that I sit with the CEO and the other heads of department from around the local health district and decide on how to expand and provide better services for our community. So, and I'm 36, yeah. 5 years into the job. There's no way I'd been able to get those sorts of experiences, biding my time with a PhD, sitting in a 0.2 job in a private hospital.
That was Florian Honeyball, ending this episode of Pomegranate Health. Thanks also to James Collett and Joel Riley for their contribution. The views expressed are their own and may not represent those of the Royal Australasian College of Physicians. There's information on our website about the specialist training program and an e-learning module about how to make the most of telesupervision. That's at racp.edu.au/podcast. Also in the works are some tools to help rural trainees prepare for clinical exams. One big help already available is the College Learning Series. These video recorded lectures are aligned to the basic training curriculum for adult medicine, and paediatrics is also now being rolled out. Just search for online learning resources at RACP in your browser. Please share this podcast with your trainee friends or any colleagues that could do with a tree change. You can subscribe to Pomegranate Health via any podcasting app, and there's even a mailing list for the late adopters. I'm Mick Cavazzini. Thanks for listening.